while traveling to a convent, that great 16th century mystic and social activist Teresa of Avila came to a rushing stream. She couldn't go around it, and she couldn't jump over it, so she had no choice but to cross it. As she and her little donkey were about halfway across, the animal became startled and bucked her off headlong into the freezing current. Coming up breathless and shivering, Teresa looked up to heaven and shouted, "Do you always treat your friends like this?" Waiting a moment and getting no reply, the soggy saint dragged herself onto the bank and muttered under her breath, "No wonder you have so few of them." After hearing Jesus' words in today's gospel, bringing fire upon the earth, bringing division instead of peace, and breaking families apart every which way, it's almost reasonable to wonder how he too had many friends. Mind you, this wasn't the first time Jesus had been contentious. The specter of division lies throughout Luke's gospel, even in its early nativity texts. Jesus' mother Mary's powerful Magnificat upends the powerful and comforts the lowly, pointing to God's just sorting of power and privilege as an indicator of real faithfulness. Simeon, an old and devout Jew waiting in the Jerusalem temple for the Messiah's coming, describes the baby as a sign that will divide human motives and inclinations like a sword. Jesus redefines the hallowed category of family in light of God's larger covenantal priorities by telling his mother and brothers that genuine family is, and I quote, "those who hear the word of God and do it." Even the incarnate one's overall ministry causes conflict and division. Eating and mixing with tax collectors and outcasts, healing on the Sabbath, confronting hypocritical religious leaders, of all things insisting enemies be treated with love and respect, proclaiming in parables like the prodigal son how God's restorative justice completely clashes with our human punishment of offenders. And today we hear it from Jesus' own lips, lips of a celebrated healer, peacemaker, liberator, and incarnation of God's unconditional love. "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." This bold and challenging declaration doesn't quite fit the syrupy, meek, and mild Jesus so many Christians love to cling to, does it? It shocks us. It offends us even. And it will shock and it will offend if, big word, if we have misunderstood Jesus by missing the radicalness of God's message he proclaimed. Jesus' message is rightly called good news, but whether we like it or not, it's equally and simultaneously hard news. Really hard news. While faithfully proclaiming God's promise of hope, it is simultaneously a call for something genuinely scary, a transformation of one's own self by discernment and sacrifice that will hurt and will create enemies. One of my favorite writers, Brian McLaren, observes, Jesus' work as peacemaker often makes things worse before they get better. And he adds, when you're going to address the things that make for peace, the underlying injustices, the underlying unacknowledged prejudice, hate and fear and evil that's lurking in people's hearts, they're not going to say, thanks for telling us. Thanks for helping us see that we're racists. Thank you so much, we'll be glad to change. Now there's going to be putting back and pushing back. There's going to be counterattack. When Jesus came, he was not a pacifier. He was not a law and order denominator. He was an agitator. He was a fire starter. He knew things had to heat up before people would wake up. And we crucified him. You know this, but I'll say it anyway. Proclaiming, and even more importantly, acting on God's call to love and fight for the marginalized and the oppressed, this will cost you. You and me and anybody who dares do it. Thoughts and prayers. You have our thoughts and prayers. Heard that a lot lately. Words sounding sincere and caring, but really cheap, without appropriate matching action. As my dear mother used to say, and much to my consternation, actions, dear, speak louder than words. Arrest and imprisonment, intimidation, violence, surveillance, harassment, and misrepresentation by the media and law enforcement agencies, assassination. Just take a look at history. All those Hebrew prophets harassed, rejected, and killed for calling people to faithful action. And then there's Jesus himself. And hundreds more, like Mahatma Gandhi, Malcolm X, Che Guevara, Martin Luther King Jr. Throughout his life and long after his death, Reverend King was considered to be a communist and agitator who pushed way too hard. A strong sentiment my own parents bought hook, line, and sinker. Public opinion polls in the late 60s showed King was one of the most hated men in the good old US of A. Think also of Harvey Milk, a favorite San Franciscan of mine, as well as George Moscone. And then there's San Salvador Archbishop Oscar Romero, to name but a few. And while thankfully not assassinated, think of the late, great Congressperson John Lewis. John Lewis, civil rights leader and lifelong advocate for non-violent action. Representative Lewis championed the intentional, and I repeat that word, the intentional creation of constructive conflict and disruption in order to challenge injustice and promote social change. As a little black boy, his parents and grandparents used to tell him, "Don't get in trouble." But Lewis coined the term, do you remember what it was? Is?
Good trouble.
Good trouble. And he explained, and I quote John Lewis, he said, "Rosa Parks inspired us to get into trouble, and I've been getting in trouble ever since. She inspired us to find a way to get in the way, to get in what I call good trouble, necessary trouble." She kept on saying to each one of us, "You too can do something. If you see something that's not right, not fair, just do something. We cannot afford to be silent." Refugees and immigrants, indigenous folk, people of color, LGBTQIA2S+ persons, women, the differently abled and the poor, so many of us need to speak out, and more importantly, act out, to cause good trouble on their behalf. You know, the old saying, power lies with the people, and it really does, if there are enough people who say it. Ultimately, not with billionaires, not with extremist politicians or wannabe kings, but with folks just like you and me. And you and me. It's the power of tangible action. Tangible. The fiery baptism Jesus proclaims is not God wreaking destruction and rapturing true believers, as some would insist. No, Jesus is speaking about himself. He, Jesus, is himself, this baptismal fire. Come to earth to free humanity from all that hurts and all that hinders. The fire of Jesus burns away that which limits the fullness of life, God's promised shalom. It sparks our imagination, it lights our hearts, it infuses us with power, and it furthers the coming of Christ's kingdom. And please don't forget, we receive this fire, you and I, at our baptism. You and I received this fire at our baptism. And to the central baptismal questions, quote, "Will you persevere in resisting evil?" And quote, "Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?" We promised we would. Do you remember the last three words? With God's help. Today's gospel proclaims this holy fire, rushes it, speaks it out, and reminds us that we have been called, you and I, to join its work of holy transformation. And now, thoughts and prayers aren't enough. So we ask, how can we do this? A good question, particularly if you get overwhelmed by the enormity of the world's hurt, like I sometimes feel. What can I do? Little old me, gray-haired old, I guess elderly lady. No laughing. Well, a lot we can do, actually, couched in seemingly modest deeds. Martin Luther King declared, "If I cannot do great things, I can do small things in a great way." Please say that again with me. If I cannot do great things, I can do small things in a great way. Precisely what we promised and vowed to do at baptism. Protests, boycotts, marches, and public speeches, actions some folks are called to take in response to injustice. But some effective baptismal fire takes quite a different form. A form like letter writing and petitions, fundraising and education. At our August 3rd Sunday reflection following the 10 o'clock service, a group of about 12 of us focused on what we here at St. John's, in the flesh and in this place, could do to offer God's world more than mere thoughts and prayers. It took no time at all to focus on the creation of a letter-writing campaign. A letter-writing campaign on issues of local concern, like the Pandora crisis, and or international concern, such as Gaza. And I tell you, there was unanimous and enthusiastic support for it. I mean, Anglicans, when have you ever seen a group of 12 people, especially Anglicans, agree on anything? I wish we could do that at Synod. These letters would be written to a variety of individuals and organizations, such as elected officials, advocacy groups, and even companies that align with our values, and those that don't, but should. We've talked about this before, as have other groups, but talking really ought to lead to acting if it's truly led by Christ. And everybody in the group thought that once a month, weekday meeting, here, say, 11 o'clock, just might work. That's subject to disagreement and modification. And I know letter writing, I hate it, even when I know I can do it with my computer. Some are good at it, others not so much. But the creation of personalized letter form templates was suggested to try to help us over that step. And I checked good old Google, and it lists what they call elements of a good letter, just in case you're wondering. As Alistair said at Sermon Circle, and others have repeated, an effective campaign needs about 4,000 letters. Poof! And to reach that goal, we will coordinate efforts with other Victoria religious groups. Ecumenical teamwork at its finest. Can't do better than that. Power does lie with us, the people. And we, the people baptized into Christ, have promised solemnly to share Christ's work of transformation in whatever way we are individually called. There is a lot of good trouble needing to be made. And we are up to it. Right? Let's get busy. Amen.